You are listening to the Slow Living Podcast, and I'm your host, Stephanie O'Day. What if I told you that you could truly have the life of your dreams, the life you've always wanted, one filled with abundance, joy, and a sense of purpose? It's absolutely possible, and I see it each and every day with my coaching clients. It all starts with learning how to slow down. You deserve to live the life you've always dreamt about. Let's get started. Hi there, Slow Down Society. Steph here, and we are on episode number 112 of the Slow Living Podcast. And today, I am thrilled and grateful and just a little bit, like, overjoyed, and I can kind of feel emotion building up. So I think the term is reclumped. Is that the term?
Ooh, that sounds very, very East Coast.
Very East Coast, and I am not.
No, neither am I.
So Sandy Cooper is back in the house with me today. Woo-hoo. Sandy from the Balanced Momcast, and she recorded with me episode number 34 about a year and a half ago. And this is episode number 112. And today we're going to be talking about living your life away from social media, which is tricky because we're recording this through the interwebs.
That's right.
But Sandy has a lot to say about it. And then I also encourage you to go back and listen to episode number 34 because, first off, Sandy is amazing and wonderful. Oh. And we were promoting your Mom, Your Amazing book, is a fantastic read. But Steph, as a podcaster of only 34 episodes, wasn't so very good yet. and I'm still not all that good. So we're recording this in Zoom, and I told her, I said, so we're doing one take because there's no take backs. I mean, if something horrible is happening, I will email Mike and Brendan, the podcastee people, and try and explain. But I am not a techie person. At all. But Sandy has been podcasting a long time now.
Four and a half. Yeah. It'll be 5 years in March. Yeah. And 200 episodes. Well, by the time this comes out, it'll be more. But yesterday, on the day we were recording yesterday, my 200th episode.
Yeah. I got your email.
So fun. Yeah. So fun.
So do you know that I started a podcast because you started a podcast?
No, I don't think you've ever told me that. In all of our conversations, you'd think that would have come out at some point, Steph.
Yeah. No, you had sent out an email about recording in your closet.
For a period of time, that is exactly what I did. Yep. Yeah.
So I had that idea. Like, well, if Sandy... So not that you're not all that, but my idea was, well, if Sandy can do it...
If Sandy can do it, anybody can do it is really everybody's motto. Words to live by.
Words to live by.
That's your takeaway from today's episode. Yeah. If Sandy can do it, anyone can.
Anyone can do it. So back to the episode 34. When that came out, because we actually are in real life friends, you texted me and you said that you listened to it and it was a great episode. And we recorded it right around Mother's Day with the idea to, one, promote your book, which is fantastic. Mom, you're amazing. And then also to provide encouragement to moms. And we titled that episode Balancing Motherhood.
Right.
The volume kept cutting in and out, and it really upset me. And you were so gracious and wonderful about it. And so today I can see you. People can't see you, even though we're recording this on Zoom. We'll just put the audio part out. Although you do have great hair, and I remember commenting that last time too.
Thanks. I literally just finished blow drying it just because I have a full day today. I didn't blow dry it for you, though I would have if you'd ask. But
that's very sweet.
Yeah, you're the first of many things happening today. I thought I got to do my hair because I need it for the rest of the day. So here we are.
Yeah, the whole rest of the day. So I can see you, and you are shrouded in light.
Because
it's 9 a.m. where you are, and it is 6 a.m. where I am. So I'm literally in the dark.
Yes, but you have a pretty light on your face, so I can see your face. So you look like darkness behind you, but you are light on your face.
That's very sweet. It's my daylight light from Amazon.
That's nice.
So I don't get cranky and get like that whole sad thing, which is
amen.
A real thing.
It's a real thing. One of the reasons I moved to Florida, by the way. because I too suffer from that. So Kentucky winters are not conducive to good mental health if you suffer from seasonal affective disorder. They're very dreary, very sad.
What about the alligators? Does that mess you up?
Nah, I've never really seen one except like in the zoo.
Okay,
I mean,
so
I know they're around.
They don't come into your pool because you have a pool.
We do have a pool. I've never seen one in my pool. I'm not saying okay. They couldn't. I mean, I've heard of things like that happening throughout different parts of Florida, but I don't. Yeah, it's not a regular occurrence. We see deer more than we see. Like, we have deer everywhere in our yard and they're eating all my flowers, which is making me insane because I don't much plant flowers. And when I do take the time to actually go to the Home Depot and pick up a $5 pot of flowers and stick it in an urn, I want it to stay. But no, it's deer candy. So the deer come and eat it.
So we have deer candy here, and my mom is a really good gardener, but we have mountain lions. So the mountain lions come and eat
gosh.
The deer.
Oh,
so I was thinking,
life.
Well, maybe the alligators would eat the deer, but you don't have it. But we really do have mountain lions. Okay.
Wow. Okay.
So even though I met you on the internet, today we're going to talk about living your life away from social media. Yeah. And, I guess it's a love-hate relationship with social media. I like a lot about it. I cannot minimize Zoom when you're recording this meeting. Oh, sorry.
Okay, you do what you need to do, girl.
No. I wanted to minimize you so I could read the questions. See, this is real life.
This is.
So I met you through your blog, and I believe you had a whole series on, is the voice in my head God or is it just me? And it reminded me of Judy Blume's Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret.
Heck yeah. That's a good memory. That's a good association. Yeah.
Yeah. So you are a gifted writer.
Thank you.
A very, very gifted writer.
So are you.
Well, thanks, but I don't know about that. You actually are. I just...
Okay.
Just the voices in my head, I write them down.
Yeah, I gotcha. But no, you are a gifted writer too. That's why I followed you too. So this was a mutual love society, just so you know that, this was not a one-sided, because we met because of each other's online writing. Like, that is why we met. Like, I started following you because of the stuff you were sharing, and then you followed me back because of the stuff I was sharing. And we just really, truly liked it. It wasn't like an obligatory, I'm following you because you followed me kind of thing, which is cool because that's rare.
Yeah.
It's rare.
Yeah. See, so it's interesting because I consider you a real life friend, and I will email you and you'll write me back, and you'll email me and I'll write you back. We have chatted on the phone before and we've texted. You actually landed at the airport about 12 minutes away from my house.
I know.
A few weeks ago. But we like each other so much that I was A-okay with you not interrupting your anniversary trip to take time away from John to come see me. Yeah. And that's how much I love you. And I would never want any of my friends to do something out of like obligation or guilt. So I like that I have that relationship with you. And and if I do go to Florida to count alligators, it depends on how close I am, I guess, to your house. And we'll see if it works. And if it's a 30th anniversary trip.
Yeah, I would not expect you to come to my house on your 30th, but if you do come for any other reason, I will hunt you down. So yeah, I will find you. Yeah.
Now, do you do the Disney thing?
I love the Disney thing.
Oh, okay. I really do.
Absolutely.
Too.
Yeah. Okay. So if you ever come on this side, cause you have a Disney probably closer to you, but this one's better. I've been to both and I'm here to tell you this one's way better. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. You heard it here.
Yep. That's right.
So even though we met online, and I have a love-hate relationship with social media. I do have social media. I don't I don't use it as like a regular person. I use it as a brand, which sounds really snotty and elitist. But that's how I sort of look at social media. If I didn't need to use it in order to entice publishers and show that I'm a legit person who writes things on the internet, I wouldn't have it. And you do write and sell books and don't have it. So I would just kind of I know I sent you a list of questions, and so I'm just going to kind of go through them. But in general, like I describe it as a love-hate relationship. Do you mm-hmm. describe it as just purely hate-hate?
No, I wouldn't say it's a hate. The more I learn about the internet, not the internet. Let me just clarify. I am not off the grid by any sense of the imagination, stretch of the imagination. That's the metaphor. By any stretch of the imagination, or the cliche, I am not off the grid. You know, I use GPS. I use my phone. I use Zoom. But, you know, I have a podcast.
Yeah.
I'm doing things online.
The Balanced Momcast, which you should yes. totally go listen to.
Yes, you totally should come and listen to that because it's way fun. I have a second podcast too called Writing Off Social, which is all about being a writer who doesn't use social media and helping other female Christian writers who want to grow and nurture their audience without social media, because this has become such a passion for me. But in answer to your question, whether or not I have a love hate or is it just hate? There are aspects of social media, very few, that the reason I joined and the reason why it was so hard for me to leave, because that took me years to get off of social media. This was not like a, you know what, I'm just not into this. This was me like you growing a brand and also using it personally heavily, like hours a day for years. I mean, I opened my first social media account in 2008 and I friended everyone that I could find, like people that I thought I would never hear from again that I've known since my early childhood. I looked for them on Facebook and I used it extensively. And then when, you know, back in the early 2008, 2009, 2010, that era, that's when publishers started noticing that people like us could grow an audience and engage an audience on social media. And so I totally used it for all of that. And it was easy back then because you would post your link to your blog and everybody could share it and everybody saw it. There were no weird algorithms. They did, like, the like button was brand new. I mean, there was just like a whole, it was a much cleaner interface. It was a purer interaction, I think. And then it just, you know, and we can go get into all of that because I've done a lot of research on really how addictive and toxic it is. And as I started feeling more, you know, glitchy, and I started recognizing a strong association between my social media use and my own anxiety, like all of that, when all of that started coming into play, and then realizing that it really wasn't producing the ROI that it had been previously professionally mm-hmm. for me. And I mean, there are a lot of reasons. I can talk about all the reasons why I left, but
yeah.
But I eventually just made a decision. I didn't even make a decision to leave social media. I made a decision to take a 1-year break.
That's right. I do remember you writing about that.
So I decided, you know what? I need these hours a day to write that book that you mentioned. The one, Is the Voice in My Head God or Just Me? Like I kept trying to write the book. I had 3 kids at home at the time. I did not have 2 hours a day to write, but I did have 2 hours a day that I was spending on social media. I mean, my screen time setting on my phone told me you spend 2 hours a day here. And so I thought, you know what? I could cut this off. It was the only thing that I could. I'm a pretty lean person in terms of how I manage my time. And I thought, this is one area that I know if I just get rid of it for a year, I can write this book and then I'll come back. And when I came back, I actually waited, because that was over, you know, coincidentally/not coincidentally, the pandemic happened during that time that I was off.
Yeah.
Because I left in September 11th, 2019 was when I
started. Oh, interesting. 9/11.
It was 9/11, 2019. I remember the exact moment I did it. And then.
Did you delete your account?
No, I actually kept it active, but I just stopped checking it. So
you took it off your phone?
Yes, it was completely off my phone. And then I was part of one writer's group, at the time that I was paying to be a part of. And so I would, and because I was writing a book, I would check in with my writing group, you know, every week or so, just to kind of check in. I would check notifications just to see if there's anything urgent. But for the most part, I had made a decision and had made an announcement that I wasn't going to be on. So I wasn't, you know, I'm super good about, when I tell myself I'm going to do something, I'm good to myself and I'm good about following through. So, so I just decided I wasn't going to do it for that year. And then, you know, September 2020, that was the beginning. I mean, we were in the thick of the election junk and the pandemic was, you know, in full swing. And I was like, I don't want to get back on there. Like that sounds like a dumpster fire. Yeah. And so I decided to stay off for a few more months. And then I thought, okay, I'm just going to come back. I'm going to promote my book. I had new boundaries. I had new resolve. I thought I'm going to set really clear time limits. I'm going to do it in this way. I'm going to get in, get out. And I started doing the thing, you know, because you do the thing, you know, I mean, you get on and you have your whatever, your images and your captions and your hashtags and blah, blah, blah. And I started like reading up, catching up on all my people. And I realized that everyone had lost their mind. Like people that I loved, truly, like it was so weird to get off and then get back on at the end of the pandemic and the 2020 elections. Like it was a weird time. Like for people who just stayed on, I don't think they saw the gradual decline of humanity, but to get off and then get back on and like seeing people that I loved in real life, the ridiculousness of what they were saying online, it made me start not liking them. And it made me start hating social media all the more. And I just, it was so life sucking. And I finally, you know, I'm a really strong Christian and this is like the honest to God truth. I just prayed. I mean, I've been praying forever about it, but I was like, God, can I get off? Because I don't want to like, I want to steward so well everything that he's given me and he's given me an audience. And so I didn't want to just like, oh, Sandy can't handle it. Therefore, Sandy just is going to not do something that makes her uncomfortable. Like I didn't want to approach it like that. I really wanted to be responsible for what God had given me and the audience that he had so graciously given me and these women who will listen to what I say. I take that very seriously. And so I didn't just like walk away like, I hate this, but I like truly prayed and asked God for permission. Like, is it okay? And you know, I had such a peace about it. I just felt like God, I just sensed God was saying to me that, you know, I'm not limited by this. Like, you think I can't get your stuff out there through other means? Like, who do you think I am?
I'm an almighty being. I can do
right.
all the
like, things. Of course I could. You do not need this. Like, yes, you have permission to leave. And, you know, and I started thinking about all the women who follow me and I, you know, I mostly speak to overwhelmed moms and I thought, I don't want to lure them on this platform either. Sure. I don't want them to feel like they have to find me here because that's the last place they need to be if they're already overwhelmed. So that is, you know, so that's a very long answer to say there was a lot of love there for a lot of years. Mm-hmm. And now I don't love it at all. For a lot of reasons, which I can go, you know, we can dive into that.
Yeah. So it's interesting because I am not an early adopter. So you saying that you started looking up people and finding them and that
2008.
Never, mm-hmm. Yeah. So
the same year I found you.
The same, yes. So mm-hmm. I didn't join Facebook, for a very, very long time. Someone who was not me started a fan page for me, which is really weird and kind of creepy.
I think it's awesome. Those were in the fun days. Yeah.
So I heard about it from someone. And so then I made an account and then I found the page and mm-hmm. it had a lot of people on it already. So then I found a way to message the person and I said, so I really am Stephanie O'Day. Can I take this over?
Yeah.
And so then I took it over.
It's so fun.
But I, as a like actual person, only have, I don't know, maybe 9 or 10 friends and like 4 of them work for me because so I do check it and I will post things on behalf of myself, but mm-hmm. I also do have a social media manager, who mm-hmm. handles like direct messages and, in Instagram, I don't have very many people on Instagram. I don't really understand Instagram all that much, mm-hmm. except for mm-hmm. people like it. And I am always hesitant to be dismissive of me personally not liking it, because I know so many people do. Right. And I don't want to alienate the people who do like it and make right. it them feel like they're doing something wrong. I feel sure. like if it's adding to your life, great. If it's subtracting from your life, then pause it for a while and see how it fits you. But what you're describing kind of sounds like an addiction. Do you feel like you were addicted?
Oh, yes. I do feel like I was addicted for sure. Yeah. I mean, and it was, yeah. I mean, I had all the classic signs of social media addiction, because it, you know, it would give me that dopamine hit. Like, I could get caught up on everything. I would get the affirmation I needed. I felt like I was in the loop, in the know, and all of that is super affirming, you know, and when you, especially during that season of just feeling pretty isolated in the parenting season I was, you know, because that was my main source of interaction with people. And so it felt super affirming. And then when I would try to get off, it was really hard for me, and I would get really irritable. And it was, I found myself like, I need to show you the, I won't do it right now, but when I one time tabbed all of the places in my journal in 2018, 19, where I was praying and writing to God and to, you know, just processing through all of my issues with social media. And if you look at the side of my journal, there are, you know, probably 100 tabs. Like, that's how much it was bothering me, that it was such, it was an addiction, certainly. And also at that time, I didn't know any other person in the genre of writing, or really any successful author, who wasn't using social media. And it wasn't even that we were told that we should use it. It's like, if you go to, and you know this, if you go to an agent or yes. a publisher, they tell you, you have to use it. And so I felt trapped. Like, that was the word I kept using, is I feel trapped here. Like, even if I wanted to get off, I can't, or it was like committing career suicide.
Right.
And so, you know, it was like a multifaceted, it wasn't just Sandy can't handle social media. It was like, and also everyone says I have to use it. It's like,
yeah,
it, you know, like any, if you were trying to stop drinking and yet people told you, but you need to drink every night to stay calm or to cope yeah. with life or whatever, and you don't have an option, like, what would you do? You just keep, okay, well, I'm going to try to figure out how to balance this out. And so, yeah, it was really complicated yeah. for me.
So what you're describing is interesting, because people who consider themselves like binge eaters or mm-hmm. addicted to food are mm-hmm. similar, because you can't just stop eating.
You can't not eat. Right. Exactly.
Yeah. So they actually talk about how it would be easier in some way if they were addicted to alcohol or cigarettes or something like that.
Right. That was optional.
But, yeah.
Right.
So, but that's really interesting to talk about it as career suicide, because mm-hmm. you're absolutely correct. It's mm-hmm. very tricky and challenging. And the first time I hear of an author or someone new that other people are talking about, I go and Google them and, sure. and try and find all their stuff. Mm-hmm. And it does turn into a comparison trap. Yep. Of, oh, they must be huge. Look at, they've got millions and millions of followers. And I've never liked that term followers, because it's, mm-hmm. it's kind of icky. Did you have pushback from any of your family or in real life friends?
I had been talking about it for so long. I think most people were probably just tired of hearing me talk about it. I had written about it several times on my blog. By that time I had a podcast, so I had talked about it on the podcast. My family in real life, you know, my husband doesn't use social media at all, so he's never been like a big proponent of it. And my kids use it, were using it differently, you know, than I was using it. So I, you know, as a mom, I just continued to monitor them. And, but I will say that there, before I got off completely, cause I got off in stages. So, you know, after that, that period of time when I came back to promote that book, and then felt permission from God to leave. That was in March 21st, 2021 was when I actually got off for good. And before I did that, I went through my biggest connection or following or whatever was definitely Facebook. I had a smaller Instagram account I used mostly for personal, but Facebook was where most of the people who engaged with my writing engaged with me. And so I went through my personal, I had a personal account and an author account, and I went, it took me a couple of weeks to do this, but I manually brought up every single person. I had thousands of friends, and I manually went through everyone, went over to their account and asked myself, do I know you? How do I know you? And do I want to stay in contact with you? And if I wanted to stay in contact with that person, I made note of them. Because my first plan was, I'm just going to get everybody off here who I don't want to stay in contact with. Well, when I got to the end of that very arduous process, which lasted weeks, it took me weeks. I'd spent time every day doing it for weeks. When I got to the end, I realized there were really only about 20 people of those thousands that I thought, I really want to stay in contact with these people. And then I realized all but maybe 5 of them, I already had their number. I had their email address. Like, I already was in contact with them. Just not, you know, it was going to take me a little bit more effort to, you know, make the effort to be in contact with them. So there were a couple people on the periphery of that 20 people that were kind of like, you know, what about them? Like, these people in this like next tier, I think that were hurt that, I wasn't going to see like their kids' first day of school pictures and, you know, not know their news, and that it was going to make it's going to be a little inconvenient for them if they want me to know something to actually have to reach out to me individually. Because it is easy to just throw something up on social media, especially when it's something serious like a death in your family or, you know, you don't want to have to think through, does Sandy know, you know?
But it is a little interesting. And it's interesting that you talk about death, because sometimes that's how we find out now.
That's how you find out things.
That someone dies. And my mom is not on social media, and it hurts her feelings when someone she knows has died and she doesn't know about it. Because it's, maybe they don't put it in the paper, because I think she still does read the obits. And so she does have a pocket of friends who take screenshots and then text it to her and things like that.
I have friends that do that too. And that has been really helpful. Because most of all my friends, all my close friends, if you know me at all, you know, I'm not on social media. And so people are actually super kind and generous. I have parents who will text me things if they know something's going on at school and it's only posted on the Facebook page. Because I'm actually the president of our parent council and I'm not on there. So I'm choosing that, and they all know, and they're like, that's okay. We'll just text Sandy. My best friend will, text me things all the time. That, you know, she wants to make sure that I know about, especially people who, you know, we have mutual friends and that sort of thing. She's like, I don't know if you knew this, but did you know so-and-so got in a car accident? You know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So it's that, you know, but I do appreciate like that. But I had to take the effort to say, hey, I'm leaving. I want to be able to stay in contact with you. Can I have your number? You know, I was super intentional about how I got off. I didn't just shut it all down and run away.
So I think what's interesting is hearing you were intentional in getting away from social media. I feel as if I continue to be very intentional of tiptoeing into it. And maybe it helps that I live in Silicon Valley. And so, like, I know people who work at Facebook and it's now called Meta. And I know people who work at Apple. And I know that these things were developed to be highly addictive and kind of gaming the system. And what you're talking about, the dopamine rush. I know that. I was a very late adopter to the iPhone. I didn't want that. I still have hardly any apps on there. I don't like it. I prefer desktop. And if I'm quote unquote working. It's on an actual computer to the point where Instagram is frustrating because something it makes you only do it from the app.
I don't like
that. And I have thumbs and I don't want to do that. But I remember being at a play date, years ago. So my middle daughter is 19 now. So it was one of her friends. And the iPhone was just coming out and we were at a house and dad worked for Apple and still does. And, and I said, so in like your meetings and stuff, are people just like on their phone all the time? He looked right at me and he says, no, because that would be rude. And I thought, well, gosh, like,
They know.
And then watching all of the different documentaries that have come out about the addiction of social media and the executives being interviewed. Like flat out saying, no, I don't allow my kids to have it. Nope. My kids aren't on it. And it's not healthy for your brain. It's just not.
Well, and when the developers of the technology have actually now come out on record and admitted we were trying to addict you. I mean, they've come right out. I mean, most of them have since left.
Yes.
You know, all those places where they created the technology and now they're actually proponents of,
they're trying to amend their sins. They know.
For sure. Yeah. I know it really is. And, you know, and you bring up a good point because, social media addiction and use is one thing, but it definitely, you know, there's this Venn diagram of phone addiction as well. And so when you get off of social media and remove the apps from your phone, it helps a little bit, but I would still say like, I need to address some phone addiction issues that I have because, you know, it's my podcast player. It's my music. It's my camera. It's my GPS and it's the way that everyone can reach me. And with everyone, you know, I'm home by myself during the day and everybody in cars at different parts of, you know, for a long time, my daughter was 700 miles away in another state at college. Yeah. I don't want to not be available. Yeah. And in this house,
we track their location.
With the two younger ones, I do, and my husband and I share a location, but my 24-year-old has made it very clear that we are not allowed anymore. But I keep telling him, I'm like, yeah, you get yourself in a situation and you're going to wish mom knew where you were. Cause like you might not. Yeah. So I, you know, I think all of that lends itself to, you know, I just find myself picking up my phone multiple times. Mm-hmm. In a 10-minute period, not just a day, like just picking it up constantly and checking. And it's very, I hate it. So yeah, I'm here like with all humility to say, yes, I was able to break free from social media, but I will tell you that my phone is still very much a problem because of everything that it provides for me.
So it's a self-soothing technique that you use it for. You feel calmer.
Yeah. And also just utilize it. Like it's very utilitarian. Mm-hmm. Is that the word? It's useful.
Well,
it's
it's interesting. So if you don't know something, are you cool with not knowing it or do you have to immediately Google it?
I am mostly really cool with not knowing it. And I think getting off of social media was really helpful for me for that. Because I already feel like I'm like a day behind on all the breaking news.
Yeah.
And some of the stuff I never hear about till way later. And I have learned that there is just like a peace with that. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's okay. I eventually know everything I need to know. And it's true. I eventually learn, I still get a paper. When I left social media, I re-subscribed to our paper newspaper and it gets delivered to my driveway and I read it like I'm a 70-year-old man at the end of the day with my tea and you know I just sit down and read it and I just scan the highlights so I always know a day late. My husband will usually tell me if something is like urgent that I need to know about or you know one of my friends or someone will be like, did you hear about the you know such and such horrible thing happening in the world? And so, you know, so sometimes I feel like I need, but I understand your question because sometimes I'll just be with my kids and we'll be like, I wonder, blah, blah, blah. And it's so easy to just ask Siri or, you know, Google it. And I make myself not do that.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I think it's just really good for our brains to just think about things and not have to have the immediate answer. So it's kind of a mental, it feels like mental working out for me to just say, no, I'm not going to Google that. I'll just wonder.
I like that. And I do that. I'm okay with not knowing things. Mm-hmm. It's interesting because my dad is 73 and definitely a late adopter to technology, mm-hmm. but he loves that he can Google and look things up. and I just allow him to do it, but it definitely disrupts conversation.
Yep.
And once in a while he can't read. So he's like, what? Like, and then he clicks
then
on a video
extra
and
disruptive.
It's making
that's
all
right.
this noise. And, yeah. So,
oh, that's funny.
It is. Mm-hmm. So, we touched upon kids and mm-hmm. teens, and I have found, and I don't know if it's just through osmosis from mm-hmm. my kids listening to me go on and on, but mm-hmm. they are not into social media.
Right.
And what's it like in your house?
Yeah. So I have three distinct kids with three distinct relationships with social media, and it's because of their ages and because of mm-hmm. where I was at the time. So my oldest, who is almost 25, she was, you know, all this was rolled out when she was like 11 and I was joining Facebook and stuff. I was like, you know, you can talk to Aunt Kathy and Aunt Pam and, you know, and so I was giving her things way too early thinking, well, I'm on here all the time anyway. I can monitor it, blah, blah, blah. Anyways, it was a steam train. It got out of hand. No one knew what they were doing. No one, like all the parents were in different places. I was always really good about monitoring screen time with my kids, you know, before that TV and computer games and things like that. But when social media came, it was really hard. If you opened the gate a little bit, it was a flood, like massive flood. And that's what happened to Rebecca. Mm-hmm. And, once you open that up, it's like really hard to get it back. Plus all her friends, like that's all how they communicated. It was really difficult managing it back then. So she has a legit love-hate relationship with social media because she feels trapped in a lot of ways because it's the primary way, mostly through Snapchat. Kids are still, young adults are still communicating. But she regularly completely deactivates, and she had a lot of, all the classic symptoms of what could go wrong with a teenage girl on Instagram. Mm-hmm. Happened to her. She was all of it, like the depression, the anxiety, a lot of more serious things like that is her story. I'll let her tell it whenever, if she's ever ready. But so hers was terrible. So she gets on and off. Elijah, because of all the mistakes I was making with Rebecca, which I didn't know I was making mistakes until it was too late. I was super careful with him, but as soon as he's on the spectrum, so he has Asperger's. And so he's, you know, mentally in maturity, he's super smart and most people don't even know he's on the spectrum, but maturity wise, he's a couple of years behind. And so when I started giving, I didn't let him open anything till 16. He was 16 years old. And then I monitored it so closely, and he was so trusting and so gullible. It was just a matter of months before he got himself into horrible situations, like online grooming predators, like that kind of thing.
Okay.
Like DMing him, it was horrible. Like, I don't even know how they found him so fast. And so that was like a get in, get out kind of thing. Like, I'm like, you're done. And he did not open up his first social media account until just like, I don't know, a year ago. Then he's 22 now. Mm-hmm. His addiction is video games. And so I'm not going to act all virtuous like I got that under control, because the video game thing is a real thing. And
that's the thing. Anyone who is virtuous about anything.
Yeah. No, I'm not. No,
double take, because
that's right.
We're all flawed humans.
And then
my
youngest
addicted to lots of things.
Of course. Exactly. That's it. Exactly. So
while I'm on my fourth cup of coffee this morning.
And here we are. That's right. Yeah. Cheers. That's right. And then, so then my 16-year-old, she's almost 17. She'll be 17 in a couple weeks. She's never had a social media account, doesn't want a social media account, doesn't like what it does to her friends, hates when she's with her friends and they all look to their phone, knows, like she cried during the whole social dilemma, watched it with me. We talked about it. She's like, Mom, I don't ever want to be that. Please don't let me be that. Mm-hmm. And so she's like the totally different. So I've got like three, it's been such a ongoing, it's so woven into the fabric of our family culture that this is just an ongoing conversation with us and we're all learning and we're all landing in different places. Yeah. But if I could go back and never give it to my kids, I would have 100% never given it to my kids. Like that is a major, I don't have many regrets in life because I think regrets lead you to where you are. I mean, I think bad decisions often will just lead you to where you are. And I'm really happy with where I am. But if I could go back and be more intentional about monitoring and restricting Rebecca's use just from the very beginning, I wish I could go back and do that because it has not done her any good. Zero good, all bad. No good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
First off, you are a very good mom.
Thank you.
So do not beat yourself up in any way. I do think we were sold stuff. We were sold that this was a way to connect.
Connect, right.
And I do think it actually was pushed in school also. So I do remember my oldest needing to join in order to be in like the calculus Facebook group and that kind of stuff. It really was a thing.
Yep, it was for sure.
Yep. And I remember, so we had talked a little bit about being virtuous and preachy. I do remember driving a group of kids to soccer practice and they're in the back of the minivan. And that's the best way to hear kid conversations is
that's right.
When you're driving a minivan. And, and one of them said something like, oh, I just crossed 800 Instagram followers. And that freaked me out because I think she was like 15-ish. And so I remember kind of pulling over and looking at her in the rearview mirror. I'm like, does your mom know that that this is happening? There's no way you know this many people. And she just kind of put a bubble in her mouth and stopped talking. So I don't know. So it's tricky and you can't shame anyone else's other decision. I vividly know that there are 6 and 7 year olds who are playing online games and are talking to strangers and and it is what it is. So be aware and not everyone who does anything gets addicted. It's not meth. I can use it and then step away. I can. I'm wired that way. But not everyone is.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I want to add that if you do feel addicted, it's not your fault that you are addicted.
No, it is designed that way.
It is designed. I mean, every single thing that you might not even consider the little things that they have added after studying actual like gambling addiction, drug addiction, and then studying how the brain works and how humans work, to actually put things in like the like button, like the typing ellipsis, like infinite scroll. You know, there are so many things and the way they track every tiny move that you make. If you hover over something for just a fraction of a second longer than you hover over something else, they will show you that very thing. That's why it shows up everywhere, you know, and so it is designed because your focus is their fuel. That's how these big machines run. And so it is designed to keep you there as long as possible because that's how they make their money. And they are paying billions of dollars to the best brains in the world to learn how to keep you there even longer. And so I just want to say, if there's anyone listening and like, oh gosh, I think I might have a problem with this, it's not your fault.
Not your fault.
It's not your fault.
Yeah.
It really isn't.
Yeah. And also, back to the motherhood part. It's not your fault if the kids are on it and need help.
Right.
Like once you know, and then you start modifying and tweaking and fine tuning behavior.
Right.
And not all things need to just kind of get completely and totally discarded.
Right.
I really do have a social media presence online and I will check mm-hmm. on it. I don't feel as if I'm addicted. But I also have a lot of rules for myself.
Right.
And I am a rule follower. really am. And,
me too.
And so if I decide I'm going to do something, that is what I do. I don't save passwords, for instance. Yeah. So mm-hmm. if I'm going to log in, I need to figure out what my really long, ridiculous password is with the right. ampersign and this right. many numbers and letters. And it's not That's convenient right. for me to log in and check.
Yeah.
I wanted to talk to you about, your other podcast of, mm-hmm. Writing off social and then mm-hmm. how you help people continue, to grow kind of their online brand and mm-hmm. authoring without social media.
Yeah. So it was really fun how that came to be because when I took my first social media break back in 2019, and I was in that writing group and I did a post saying, hey, I just wanted to let everybody know what I'm doing here. Someone who was also in that writing group who I didn't know really at the time private messaged me on Facebook and said, can I talk to you about this? And I said, yeah. So in fact, a ton of people did, but her in particular. So we started this ongoing conversation and we never stopped talking about social media. And so when I left in 2021 and then I hired a business coach mm-hmm. and I asked him, you know, what he looked at all my stuff and he was going to help me, you know, niche down or whatever those business coaches do. And he said, you know, I think one of the most interesting things you're talking about right now is getting off of social media. And I was like, really? Who cares about? Like, I just thought that was a thing. I'd done it. It was over. Like, let me move on. And he said, I really think you need to talk about this. And so, I did a podcast tour and I started talking, you know, going on and I created a challenge, a 7-day challenge and all this stuff. And I found out, Steph, that when I was talking, I was trying to get moms off social media, like try to help them get off social media. But every time I would get on one of those podcast interviews, I would afterwards, after record was over, the podcasters would be like, no, for real, like, how are you doing this? Because, yeah. you know, you can't not be on social media. Like, how right. are you sharing your show? How are you growing? How are you?
Right.
And I realized, like, while I liked helping moms get off social media, I loved helping other professionals get off social media because I felt kind of rebellious and kind of renegade and kind of like, yeah. you know, like this pioneer in this uncharted territory. And I thought, I don't know, but I'm going to figure it out. Like, I'm going to totally yeah. figure it out. Okay. So back to that friend who messaged me back in 2019 is now my partner and co-host of Writing Off Social. It's Mary Kay Tiller.
Okay.
And so, you know, she and I had been through this journey all together and she was kind of a couple steps behind me. And, you know, then she finally got off social media and we just have such a heart to help people find alternate pathways that play to their strengths and just yield a better return on their investment of time. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, for the people who come to us, they are writers who feel trapped by social media. That's
yeah.
our ideal person who comes to us is a writer who feels trapped and says, I need a different way. And so, you know, we have a podcast where people can listen to us for free, but we also have a course, mm-hmm. And it's getting ready to launch actually in January. The cart will probably be open when this, unless we sell out, because we just have a really small, group of people we take through. But
okay,
so
let me just interject here. So this will yeah. come out in December and this is episode number 112. So I will link to everything and you
okay.
can find all podcast notes at stephanieoday.com/podcast-notes. And this will be episode 112.
Perfect.
Okay. All right.
Perfect.
And back to your regularly
yes.
scheduled program.
Yes. so what we do is we take writers specifically, and we will do a website and email list audit. So we will look at everything that they're doing. We'll look at their strategy. We'll look at what's working, what's not. And then we take them through a whole process of figuring out what's life giving to you, what's life sucking, how were you using social media, how was that working, what are your goals, like, do you want to grow, do you want to sell something, do you want to find community, are you like what, because there's different goals, you know, people use social media for a lot of reasons, you know, and so as a professionally and personally, but you know, we're dealing with professionals now, and so we help them solidify those goals and really name them. And then we show them in our last version of the course, we showed them 10. This version of the course, we dropped Pinterest because Pinterest is not working anymore. And it's fallen into the social media addiction. Yes. So we were showing people how to use Pinterest. We don't do that anymore, but we show them 9 alternate pathways that, and then they get to determine, we tell them what the pathway is, how it works, who it works for, who it doesn't work for. And then we give them the first 5 or 6 steps to get started on that pathway. And then we send them off with a 90-day plan based on what works for them, like their goals, their stuff, what they want to accomplish this year and what feels life-giving to them. And we put together and we just have them choose 2 at the most, 2-3 at the most pathways. And we help them get all in on on those pathways. So there's so many other ways you can reach an audience that does not involve spinning your wheels and chasing an algorithm and having all your stuff hidden and getting sucked into an addictive platform and luring your readers there. And like, it's just, there are just a lot of other ways. So we help them find them.
I agree with you. And then, one thing that popped in my brain when you were talking about Pinterest, so I know you and I have talked and joked before about like Pinterest perfect and that kind of stuff. And then it sort of has morphed into Instagram now a little bit. But when I was goofing around with Pinterest for a while and do not at all. I have no idea how to log into my account anymore. I had been feeling pretty good about myself. And then I started looking at Pinterest and people actually were taking my recipes and then redoing them with better pictures. And then I started really kind of beating myself up in my head about that. And it was absolutely not good for my mental health. And so really we talked about this before, but I'm going to bring it up again. So if you are listening to this, ask yourself some really good open-ended questions. So Sandy asked God, is this helping me or is this hindering me? So ask yourself, is social media like enhancing your life or is it detracting from it? If you do not feel good when you're looking at it, that's a sign. That's a sign that you really need to step away. So consider the pause. Sandy had talked about a seven day break. Take it off your phone.
That's right.
And just close the browsers, and just really try. And if in those 7 days you have these feelings of uncomfortableness and inadequacy and what's happening in the world and what so and so is doing, that's something to really think about and journal on and pray on. 'Cause that's God, the universe, your subconscious telling you something needs. You need to pay attention to this.
Yes, definitely. In fact, I wasn't even going to mention this, but I have a quiz if people want to take it. It's called, Is It Time for You to Break Up with Social Media? And it actually takes you through some of those very same questions you just said. And then if you do need to break up with social media, it will lead you to the 7-day challenge that we offer we moved it over to Writing Off Social. So it actually, the quiz is free, I can give you the link to it and you can.
Okay. We'll put that in the show notes and Sandy can see me through Zoom and I'm trying really hard not to bust out laughing because I write an online site. And the name of your quiz is like the best SEO ever.
That's right. Is it time to break up with social media? Yes. Yes.
Exactly what people would be typing into the search engine box, which if you that's didn't exactly know, right. SEO is search engine optimization.
Yes. Oh, and that's one of yes. the things, by the way, that we teach in the course is we teach about SEO because it is yeah. so important. And it because everyone's on their computer, everybody's Googling something. And so people can find you that way instead. Yeah. I mean, just like you said, as soon as you hear about someone, you look them up online. And so we don't advocate necessarily that people stop having an online presence, but we do advocate for people who don't want to use social media. If that feels life sucking, life draining and ineffective to you, then there are other ways. And so we encourage that. So yes. Sorry to interrupt you.
No, don't be. Yeah. So before we hang up, I wanted to ask one other thing, especially because I'm raising this kind of Gen Z young yep. professional thing and LinkedIn is a thing. Do you consider yes. LinkedIn social media?
Yeah, that's a great question. I do. Let me say this. Anything that is algorithm driven, that has addictive technology, that feels life sucking to you, we put in the social media category. So if you can use LinkedIn professionally and like the way you use Facebook and it doesn't bug you, if a lot of people use LinkedIn and it is not an issue for them. Pinterest was not an issue for me. It just stopped working. So there are some things that like are on the periphery. I feel like LinkedIn is one of those. I feel like Reddit is one of those. I feel like YouTube teeters on the edge of addictive. But
so my kids, I think, have an issue with
me
YouTube
too.
Because
me
it,
too.
It just never ends. They'll click right. on one thing and then algorithm will say, oh, you must like this now. So yes. I personally don't like watching TV on my phone or computer.
Right.
I want
Same.
To sit on my couch with my feet up. So
yes.
it's not a thing for me, but I do think it is a thing for my kids.
Yep, I agree. And so one of the things that, and that's a regular question that we get, like, what do you consider social media? And so, if you do sign up for the 7-day challenge when we help you prepare for the challenge, we actually answer that question and I kind of put them in tiers of like, here's what you're dealing with. But I would encourage anybody who, if it's algorithm driven, like you just described, if you have a personal issue with it, if it feels life sucking, life draining to you, then that is social media to you. And you should yeah. consider setting up some boundaries or getting off altogether. Yeah. If you can't handle it with boundaries, you know, much yeah. like any addiction, like
I know
some people
know.
Can, you know, I've never been addicted to alcohol, but I have a lot of alcoholics in my world
yeah.
and they can't have any where I
yeah.
can enjoy periodically a glass of wine and it doesn't bother me at all. Yeah. But a lot of people can't. I think
yeah.
addictive technology is exactly the same.
Well, and it's interesting because the brain chatter and the noise in your head about it. So if you can white knuckle something and be like, I'm going to give it up for 30 days, but you're constantly thinking about it
yeah.
and obsessing about it and counting down the minutes until you can
get back
on social media or crack open that bottle of wine. That is another thing to pay attention to.
Yep.
So when I say I can take it or leave it, I actually really can't. Like I'm right. happy to be off grid. When we're camping and I have no reception, I'm like, great.
Awesome.
I can text mom and be like, mom, I am off grid for a while. And,
yeah.
and I only do that because I don't want her to worry and
right.
we do track each other's location. But I have no itchiness at all.
That's so great.
But other people do. And I don't want to
yeah.
dismiss that in any way. And
right.
again, not virtuous. I have plenty of other things that I'm all screwed up about.
That's right. That's right. I agree. I feel the same way about myself. Yeah. This is not me being like, I wish you were as good as me. Cause that
no.
is not it
no.
at all. Nope. Just,
yeah.
but if you need help getting off social media, I'm your girl. So. As one who, again, like my husband can also say, you know, I don't use social media either, but he's never used it. And so that's
yeah.
like a whole different category of person. I'm coming at you from someone who was in the trenches, who used
yeah.
it regularly for 13 years
yeah.
and felt like trapped there. And now I can safely tell you I am like Stephanie O'Day now. It doesn't bother me. I used to keep.
Well, I don't know. Stephanie O'Day is still paying someone to do it for her.
Oh, true. So it would be. But it doesn't affect you.
And married to Mr. Spreadsheet, so he would love it if I could just walk away from the whole thing.
That's right. That's true. Yes.
Yeah. Well, that's so. Great. So that said, talking about addiction, going into this school year, so we're recording this, and this happens to be, I think, like the 45th day of school. Mm-hmm. And I told Adam that I would have a back to school resolution of no donuts. I think I lasted 14 school days. So yeah, so totally suck. And that's fine. Whatever. I own it.
Yeah. I was going to say, if you're addicted to donuts, that is not your fault.
Oh my gosh. I just love donuts. They're so
delicious.
If I
eat one, see now for me, it's homemade chocolate chip cookies and or homemade brownies, especially the edges. If I eat one,
you're a crispy brownie.
I'm an edge girl. Yeah, no nuts and no frosting, please. I just want the straight up brownie. I want the edges and I'll eat the whole pan. I mean, duh, yeah. I'll eat the whole pan.
Yeah. No, it is the same. Yeah. It's an 8x8. That's nothing.
Right. Right. Yeah. I mean, what is that? It's a one jean size. It's fine. I can.
So we had a teacher bring in blondies. So is Deb Perlman's recipe from Smitten Kitchen, which literally is.
I love Smitten Kitchen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I've met her in real life. She is a very lovely lady.
Oh, nice.
Speaking of which, it was interesting. Okay, now we're going off on a tangent. But I was on her website because this teacher made the brownies. And I'm like, oh, okay. And I met her at a food conference. But so many videos and so many different things on her site now since the last time I was on her site, which is probably like 2012 or something. Mm-hmm. And it's just interesting how I made that conscious decision, like, I don't want to do little cooking videos and all of this stuff. And so the site has plummeted to its death. But sometimes in order to play the game, you do have to shift and adapt. And now we're off on a tangent. But anyway, do like that blondie recipe. And Deb Perlman in real life is lovely and wonderful.
Okay, good to know. I will not make it because if I make it, I'll eat them all. And that was my point is if I just make stuff for my kids and don't take the first bite, I have much more. There's a metaphor here. I have much more self-control if I just don't even take the first bite. Like, I don't know if you're familiar with Gretchen Rubin's work.
Yes.
But, yes. I love Gretchen Rubin. And she talks about, are you a moderator or are you, what did she call it? Oh my God. I just lost the other word of like, what I am.
Like an abstainer.
Abstainer. That's right. It's abstainer or moderator. And I am not the kind of person that can eat one chocolate chip cookie. I'll eat either no cookies or all the cookies, period. Yeah. Like that's just how I am.
So I think that's why I like fasting. Because when my window is open, I'm going to eat all the frickin'
shit. You can.
Don't say a bad word, but I'm going to eat it all. I'm like a little like Tasmanian devil. Like, I'm going to eat it all.
Yes. Yes. That was a nice sound you made there. Tasmanian
the window
devil.
And be like, okay.
Yes. Yes. And
alarm
I think
goes off tomorrow. I can have those things.
Yes. And I think that's also why sometimes even if you have the best intentions about setting restrictions around your social media, it just isn't going to work for you if your personality is abstainer. And so, you know, that I just do better if I just shut it down and don't go in at all than if I go in and keep. Now I am so far past. Now, I don't know. Maybe if I got in, I'd get all addicted again, but I'm so far past. I'm so far removed from it and know so much that I really don't feel like it would ever suck me in again. But I just for that period of time, especially, you know, once I decided to leave for good, and that's why I unfriended everyone because I thought that doesn't suck me in.
Well, and I think this really kind of opens a really good discussion in that we're not all the same.
Right. For sure.
We're like if there was a prescription and a one size fits all, we would all be size 6 and we would all do these things. And that's not real life. In real life, there's so many different shades of gray and it's marketing that is like, this is how you do it and do it this way and it'll work every time. That's BS.
That's right.
Like literal marketing hype, which feeds the algorithm because humans want that. I want that. You want that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. For sure.
Yeah. For sure. Okay. Thank I think you. You're lovely and wonderful. We could talk all day, but I do have to go to work and I can hear Sheldon growling. And then he's not growling. He's like,
yeah, like, he's ready. He's ready like, for his walk. It's time for you. Yeah. I know. That's right. Well, you're lovely and wonderful too. Thank you so much for having
me. Happy anniversary.
Thank you. 30 years, man.
30 years.
Which is weird because I'm only 37.
I know. How'd that happen? Really it doesn't even know. Make any sense.
Young. Kentucky.
So I would like you to go to the podcast notes and find mm-hmm. Sandy in all of the places except for social media. But the Balanced Momcast, she did a two-part interview with her mm-hmm. husband, John, on being married for 30 years. And it was really eye-opening, and I cried a few times. It took me a few days to get through them because I listened in 20-minute chunks while I walked Sheldon. But I thought it was great. I thought you were very vulnerable. And your books are fantastic. I have them on my shelves, and you have signed them. And so we will link to all the stuff in podcast notes, episode 112 with Sandy Cooper.
Yeah, thank you. Yes, so fun.
Do you have a slow living story to share? Leave me a voicemail at stephanieoday.com/podcast with any questions, comments, feedback, or testimonials, and I will be sure to include it in an upcoming episode. Also, if you found value in this episode, please share it with your family and friends and subscribe through your favorite podcast provider. The more you share, comment, and leave positive reviews, the more people we can reach and share the slow living lifestyle and messaging. Thank you, Slow Down Society, and have an absolutely wonderful day.